Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Here you go. Here you go.
Tweak. That's the nothing personal word of the day for Tuesday, January 30th, 2024. And it's a double entendre Tuesday. When we tell you that a player has tweaked his knee or tweaked his shoulder, or you go to somebody in your rec league and say, oh, I can't play, I tweaked my ankle. It's really code word for, yeah, I just can't play. Either I can't play because I'm hurt, I can't play because I don't want to hurt, I don't want to play. Tweaking is not a medical term. I never heard our team doctor ever say to me, call me up at the end of a game, hey, I just saw your guy, yeah, he tweaked his knee. What? What does that mean? How many days does that mean? It's not really how doctors talk. They sprained it, broke it, tore it, strained it, tore it, strained it. Did I say strain more than once? Tweak is what you do when you want to change something a little bit. I want to tweak a rule. It means I want to keep the general rule in place, but I just want to do a teeny tiny tweak. It's like you won't even notice. This has been in my head since Adam Silver first announced his new plan. The 65-game load management plan. At the time, I must tell you, I am not afraid to admit when I'm wrong or when I'm not informed totally on issues, because who could be completely informed? Plenty of people who have a microphone claim they're fully informed on everything, and in fact, they barely know a little about anything. When Adam Silver announced the 65-game minimum to be all NBA or to be MVP, I did a segment. I said, you know what? As an owner, as a player, you want to be ready for the playoffs. Load management is not going to go away because of this. You're not going to incentivize a player to play who's got a tweaked knee. And I had not properly considered the Ja Morant and other players whose take-home pay can be altered by their postseason awards. Much like what Major League Baseball did with its pre-arbitration pool, that was almost a $5 fine. Much like what made, ready? Here we go. We got this, Coco. 4, 8, 69. Much like what Major League Baseball did with its pre-arbitration pool, where players, if they are rookies, first years, second years, pre-arb players, and they finish with at rookie of the year or top three, Cy Young or MVP, they get a bonus that is a percentage of that $50 million pool. So incentives, in theory, that was done to get players paid more money when they were younger and to get teams to call up players faster because that was a complaint of the union. When the broadcasters complain that a Saturday night game happens and Joel Embiid is not playing, and it happens all the time when teams come to cities and they're not playing their number one, number two, three, four guys. They're resting at the second end of a back-to-back. Adam Silver said, I got a plan. And the plan is, we're going to stop you from being an all-NBA and being named an MVP. And then I learned about how super max amounts are paid. or sometimes first maxes are paid, and what the number can be for a guy in his rookie contract who's then signing a quote-unquote max extension. I learned that there are tens of millions of dollars at stake. When you put money at stake for a player, you better make sure that you have covered all your bases. The reason I'm worked up about this is the rule as it stands now is going to cost Joel Embiid a chance to be an All-NBA or to be an MVP because he is missing games due to knee soreness, may have tweaked his knee. He's missed about 12 games so far this year. I think he's played a total of 33 games. You can miss 17 and still be at 65. That's 82 minus 65. So he is well on his way to missing more than 17 in theory. Joel Embiid's contract doesn't expire for another couple years, so this may not impact him, but it got me thinking about a tweak. So, dear Evan Hansen, I would like you to consider the following tweak to the 65-game rule. If a player misses 5 games in a row, I would like there to be a provision where the total number of games that counts towards your 65 or toward the 17 that you can miss is 0. Meaning any time you miss 5 or more games in a row, you actually get credited with missing 0 games. Why? Because when you miss 5 games in a row, you are not being held back for load management. You're hurt. You're not being saved for the playoffs. You're hurt. There is no GM, there's no team, there's no analytics department, there's no player who wants a full week off at any point during the regular season, or sometimes 5 games in 8 days, 5 games in 7 days, whatever the case may be. Too many. Back end of a back-to-back, in. Fourth game in 5 nights, I'm in. Long day of travel, tired across time zones, I'm in. General body fatigue, I'm in. A slight tweak of your gluteus maximus. All right, I'm in. That doesn't last 5 games. So how would that realistically look? You would say, all right, Joel Embiid is going to miss his 5th straight game, or he missed it against Portland. I think he's missed 5 in a row. It's as though he hadn't missed any games. If he plays the next game and then sits out the game after, he will have missed 5 out of 6. But if he misses the game after missing 5 in a row, that would count as a load management game, unless he misses another 5 games in a row. Is that clear, Harvey Mudd? The reason why I think Adam Silver is going to tweak this is that the union now has to pay attention to the reality of players, whether it's Joel Embiid, whether it's Luka Doncic, who's played 40 games. Even Giannis has played 45, or LeBron 43, whatever the case is. When there are super max deals or rookie extension max deals where the calculus depends on postseason honors, the union has to stand up and say, wow, we missed this. We missed this because we thought all the league was trying to do was solve for broadcast deals and load management. But in fact, what the league was trying to do, and this is me being a little cynical, and let me explain why. In fact, what the league was trying to do was hold down max deals. Is that possible? Would leagues ever pull a bait and switch on a players' union during the course of a collective bargaining negotiation? I have 3 words for you. Debt service rule. The debt service rule was put in place as a salary cap. It was said to the union back in the day by Major League Baseball that we want to put this debt service rule in because teams are losing money. We want teams to be financially healthy. We need them to have availability to the capital markets. With negative EBITDA, they don't have availability. Therefore, we really need, which is untrue because we had negative EBITDA every month in Gdynaszczyk, and we had plenty of availability with the capital markets. Not that you want to avail yourself of all of your credit. like you in your personal life. You could always borrow more money. At some point, you say, ooh, that's going to be too much debt service. My annual nut will be too big. Hard to imagine. Not too frequent, just too big. The debt service rule, which states that you can only have a certain amount of debt, it's a multiple of your EBITDA. So if you have negative EBITDA, in theory, you only are allowed the minimum amount of debt. In order to have positive EBITDA, you have to actually run, in theory, a profitable team, at least in the books. And if you're going to run a profitable team, you may have to cut expenses. And the best way to cut expenses is not to fire the assistant to the traveling secretary or the manager of marketing. It's to get rid of players. It's to lower your payroll. The union had no idea that's how the debt service rule was going to be used. So I believe that it is not just possible, but that it's likely that the National Basketball Association did this entire load management situation as a way to potentially quash what supermax deals could be. And I think the union now knows. And I believe that there will be tweaks to this rule. So, unlike, and I don't mean to impugn anybody, yeah, I sort of do. Unlike the gas bags out there, I'll put my reputation where my mouth is. Wait to see is when I tell you something's going to happen. If it does, I'll revisit it and tell you. If it doesn't, I'll revisit it and tell you I was wrong. And I'm not going to say wait to see tomorrow's Wednesday. That's not fair. Some of my wait to sees are gimmies, actually. Not like day of the week, though. Wait to see. There will be a tweak to the 65-game minimum rule, and that tweak will come either in this interim period while there's a CBA or in the next CBA. So this is going to be a long one, but luckily we have a document on davidsampsonpodcast.com where you can see all the wait to sees, all the picks of the day, all the words of the day, all of the movies that we review. I don't know if you can see the word of the day. I actually can't remember for that. Coke, is that on the document? Word of the day? Maybe. Maybe not. Either way, the official way to see is the 65-game minimum rule will be tweaked. Wait to see. Okay. Speaking of picks of the day, nothing personal pick of the day, soon to be brought to you by our friends at DraftKings. Waiting for Coca to sign on the dotted line. Waiting for Coke and I to be in the same place at the same time. I wonder if we'll have any other DraftKings-related news coming up. That'd be interesting if we did. What would be that related news? We had the Nuggets 4.5 over the Bucks. Nuggets won by 6. We're back to 500. I do not want to be below 500 again. Doc Rivers debuted in a job that he wouldn't wish on his worst enemy. Of course, he took the job. I like that. No one wants this job. I'll do it. It's like sitting in the back seat in the middle on the bump or sitting in the bus in the old yellow school buses above the wheel so your knees were at your chest. I would always sit at those seats because my knees were never at my chest. I actually liked my feet being able to touch the floor. That's why I like the hump in the middle of the back seat and I like the hump above the wheel in the yellow bus. If you know, you know. Tonight we've got the Celtics giving a touchdown to the Pacers in Boston. How's Pascal doing as a Pacer? How have the Pacers done with him? Have they done well? Everything good? Although Halliburton's been hurt. We're taking the Celtics, Doc Rivers' old team, over Larry Bird's old team. Celtics -7 over the Pacers. All right, I want to switch to the Super Bowl. We didn't talk enough about Lake Las Vegas yesterday. Viva Lake Las Vegas. How funny is that? All these players, families, everyone all excited to be at Bellagio. The players, the staff. Welcome to Lake Las Vegas. Hey, want to go to dinner on the Strip? All right, that'll be a 40-minute Uber ride. I want to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs a little bit because they've got some off-the-field issues they need to deal with. And I don't mean trying to get Taylor Swift from Tokyo to Vegas because that's not their problem. Believe me, they're not sending a jet to get Taylor Swift. Goodell may, but the Chiefs aren't. The Chiefs have to deal with the Tony situation. And I touched on it with a glancing blow yesterday on Nothing Personal. You can go back to regular episode 978. But it was a passing thought. But I need to revisit it because I listened to the tape of Tony's Instagram Live, and then I listened to Andy Reid talk about it, and I realized, yikes, this is the exact type of distraction that you don't want heading into a Super Bowl. You want to really minimize it. So here's the backstory. Tony was inactive, and the Chiefs said he was hurt. Tony said he wasn't hurt. No one used that exact language. But then Andy Reid, in an interview, said there were no erroneous injury reports filed regarding Kadarius Toney. He's been on the injury report, so that part is not made up by any means. While Toney claims his hip's fine, his ankle's fine, everything's good, I'm not hurt, it's all a lie. Why does Andy Reid have to go public? Because one of the things that the NFL is worried about, let me say it a better way, ready? 4, 8, 6, 9. The main thing the NFL is worried about is gambling and integrity. And one of the things that is important to the National Football League as it seeks this layer of non-WWE integrity is the injury report. Who's playing, who's not playing? We like it in basketball. We hate to see that Embiid's not in the injury report and then he doesn't play. Baseball now says, hey, you have to announce your starting pitchers and you have to submit your lineups to us and we'll publicly disclose the lineups. All of it is gambling related. But in the NFL, where the amount of money gambled on NFL games is a multiple, a huge multiple of that which is spent on the other leagues, even when there's no NFL games being played, it's like people take a break sometimes. Though betting on baseball is super fun, as you'll see once we start picking baseball games, which we get to do really soon because spring training betting, nothing like it. The NFL injury reports are like sacred because lines depend on it. People are looking at it, not just for fantasy. I'm talking for reality. And so when a player is questioning his existence on the injury report, and the team doubles down saying, no, no, he's on that injury report because he's injured, not because of discipline, not because we want him inactive. The NFL has to make sure that the team is telling the truth. And the team, as part of its evidence, when called on by the league, the way the Chiefs were certainly called on by the commissioner's office, is they say, of course he was hurt. Hey, Andy, in your next interview, we're going to need you to bring this up and say that Tony is actually hurt, that he's actually on the injury report because he's actually hurt. Because in theory, you could put someone on the injury report as doubtful and then say, oh, it was just a tweak. He's totally fine. And then he plays. And that could have an impact. I wonder what the next Super Bowl story is going to be. With the Niners, they got to come up with some good stories. They've come up with the ticket price story. That's a good one. The get-in price. Most expensive ticket would have been even bigger with the Lions. I like when leagues say that. Hey, our game is so popular, but if the Lions had been there because of their story and the way their secondary market works, those people would have traveled to Vegas. Although it's much closer to San Francisco than it is to Detroit. But that said, here's a little hint on markets for tickets. If you're willing to wait, the prices go down. The reason why they're so high right now is that people who don't want to fly to Vegas and take the chance, although Vegas is the type of city, it's not like going to Indy. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say anything about Indy or Cleveland or St. Louis or Milwaukee or Pittsburgh or San Fran or New York. I had to put all those cities in so no one got upset. I can't believe I'm now that guy. I don't want to upset anybody. All right, how about this? We're like it not even measurable in Idaho. So imagine Idaho as a Super Bowl. You're not making a plan to go to Idaho without tickets to the game because if you don't go to the game, what are you going to do? Notwithstanding the great biking and the great hiking and how absolutely gorgeous it is. All right, are you happy 0.1%? Vegas, make your plan, go to Vegas. Knock yourself out. You don't get tickets to the game because it's too much. Or you lose at the tables, Maybe you'll win at the tables and then have money to buy better seats. Maybe you'll lose at the tables and then sell your tickets. Maybe you'll lose at the tables and not buy your tickets. But either way, you'll get some good meals and you'll be in Vegas. You could even stay in Lake Vegas or Henderson, or you could go to the Grand Canyon. There's so much to do. I don't think it's necessary to buy the tickets at these prices. Not yet. So I think that's the story that they've come up with, how exciting everyone should be. Then, of course, they're going to have the announcements of the NFC Championship and AFC Championship. Viewers, 50 million plus records, best in a decade. That carries the news for a day. Then we'll get into the travel. You'll get pictures of the players deplaning in Vegas. Then you'll get media day and you'll see the little kid doing the interviews and there'll be some good stories. Then you'll wait because half the media who's staying at the Luxor is going to be monitoring the police radio, waiting to see who the first player or team official is who's arrested. Then you'll see the buses of escorts being brought in. That'll be good news, good stories. Then you'll get to the X's and O's. We'll start doing predictions. And then 2 weeks later, you'll get picks and a kickoff. And of course, there's nothing better than the commercial kickoff commercial touchback. It's very exciting. How is the NFL not changing that? Only because they don't want kickoff returns because of concussions? If you really don't want kickoff returns, then why do you have kickoffs? I'm definitely not the first to have said this, but I really mean it. Just start the ball on the 20. It doesn't need to be the 25, especially with the way you're calling defensive penalties. Although I know you love offense, but just start, and by the way, start at the 40. You want offense so badly. That's my new thing. How about if there's no kickoffs and it's first and 10 at the 30? Everybody. Oh, but we need those commercials. I'm fine with an extra commercial during a break. Extend the breaks. The networks do this. Do you like this new thing they do? We'll time out. We'll be back in 30. And then they do split screens. So you can watch the State Farm, but you can see what's going on as the quarterback has all the 10 people spraying water in their face mask so they can get a quick drink, toweling off, getting their hoods put on them when it's cold. Yep, we're watching the State Farm commercial, and then we're back in 30. Speaking of back in 30, what is our break? I don't know. When we come back, we are going to review a movie I watched yesterday that just came out on Netflix. It is a great documentary. Can't wait to talk about it. And then as we are 2 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting, 2 weeks, that's it. Do you know that we are under 2 months from a regular season game? Now, you're thinking that March 31st is the opening day, so it's over 2 months. And I'm going to tell you, Korea, baby. Dodgers Padres, March 20, March 21, 6 a.m. There's going to be split screen action during those games. Those days on Nothing Personal. Game started 6 a.m. All right, Coco now. All right, fine. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Nothing Personal. It's David Sampson and Matthew Coca as we eagerly wait the results of all of your voting for the Sports Podcast Awards. When do we get the answer to that? I think it's in the first few days of February, whether or not we're just loser nominees or whether we win Best Sports Business Podcast, Best Baseball Podcast. Thank you. Keep spreading the word about this podcast. My first week doing the show, Coca and Debo sat me down at CBS and said, make sure you promote. The best way is word of mouth. The best way to grow your show, because we had like two listeners the first show. I used to think it was just my mother. And then someone reached out to me, Matt, on davidsampsonpodcast.com and said, I listened the first day. So that means there were two people listening. Fantastic. But the best way to get the show bigger is to tell people to tell other people about it. Word of mouth. So please help me in that regard. So with 2 weeks left until pitchers and catchers, we got some interesting baseball things to cover, and one of them was asked by you.
You know what I want? I want to talk to Samson.
So you want to talk to Samson. Oh, I forgot the review. Sorry, Coca. Should we go back to the review? All right, let's go back to the review. That's the order. That makes me comfortable. Do you know why? Because on my rundown, what I want to talk about in the So You Want to Talk to Samson is about the Oakland A's, and there's something so awesome going on. But I'm gonna do the review because that's what people expect after the break. So we just got back from break. Welcome back to Nothing Personal. I watched a documentary called The Greatest Night in Pop on Netflix. I don't care how old you are. You can be 20 years old listening to this. You can be 50 years old listening to this. You can be Coca's grandpa listening to this. We are the world. We are the children. Do you remember that? There's a song called We Are the World. It was USA for Africa. I'd like to tell you that back in the 80s, there was famine in Ethiopia, and that's been taken care of. Not. There was a time when celebrities, instead of using their platforms, there was no Twitter or anything like that, instead of using it to be ultra political and figure out, are you on the left, are you on the right, who do you love, who do you hate, they would try to figure out ways to raise money for charities. They would try to draw attention. Not gonna play in Sun City. God, wouldn't it be cool if I could sing Sun City? Not gonna play in Sun City. If you don't know what that is, then I can't help you, but let's just help you. Apartheid. So when you get Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, Quincy Jones, Huey Lewis, Cyndi Lauper, Kim Carnes, James Ingram, not Waylon Jennings, Billy Joel, Bruce frickin' Springsteen, Kenny Rogers, Islands in the Stream, that is, you put all those people in a room, what's the only time that you can get everyone in the music industry in the same room? Same city? Either the night of the Grammys or the night of the American Music Awards. Never even thought of that. What's the best time to get a selfie with a million stars? The night of the Oscars. Lionel Richie and Quincy Jones got together with Stevie Wonder and they said, we're going to do a song and then we're going to get everyone in the same studio. We're not going to tell anyone where it is till the last minute. Then we're going to get everyone to come, including Sheila E. and The Glamorous Life. And we're going to record a song. It's going to be a huge hit. And then we're going to make a documentary 30 years later to show how it all got made. And the way this sausage got made is CAF. And I don't just mean the Challenged Athletes Foundation, which, as you know, is one of the great charities out there. Shout out to you, Jeffrey Essekow and Sarah Reinertsen and all, Christine, all the great people at Challenged Athletes Foundation, celebrating their 30th year and helping people who are physically disabled and have lost limbs, get wheelchairs, and be able to participate in athletics. The way you do it is you get them all in the same room, and then you record. This documentary is exactly about that. And if you haven't heard of any of the people who are on We Are the World, no matter your age, you literally live on a desert island with the others. Go check out The Greatest Night in Pop. Either you will feel nostalgia to the point of a warm blanket washing over you with the hair on the back of your waxed neck sticking out straight, or you will say, God, they look weird. Either way, you will be touched. You will learn something. What else could you want in a Netflix documentary? It's called The Greatest Night in Pop. So You Want to Talk to Samson is from a movie called Half-Baked. I'm not going to make you play the music again. I don't want to take the time. We only have 17 minutes left. Half-Baked, character named Samson. Get into my Twitter at David P. Samson, hit follow, and ask a question. David, as the media expert, let me stop there. I am not a media expert, but that is a good way to get your question on the show. It's even better than hello, David. David, as the handsome devil that you are at 65 inches and 134 pounds, No, I'm just kidding. All right, that's not what the question was. David, as the media expert on the A's relocation to Las Vegas, I'm not really that. I do have a position that I'm not going to change. Do you believe that they will raise payroll as they said they would in Ken Rosenthal's article? Well, thank you for asking because you give me a chance to pump something that I have no commercial benefit. I get paid zero by The Athletic. Literally zero. As a matter of fact, their group of podcasts compete with mine. And yes, we kick their arse, thanks to you all. They actually have all their podcasts, all like their baseball podcasts, count as one. Anyway, I digress. They're amazing podcasts. You should listen to Starkville. Listen to Fair Territory. Ken Rosenthal, read his articles. Read their articles on The Athletic. It's cheap, and it is really good journalism. Ken Rosenthal wrote an entire article about the Oakland A's saying, show me, don't tell me. I used to really not like it when members of the media, including Ken Rosenthal, who now is a friend, who when I was in the game was not. And the reason he was not is that he had sources within our organization, which I now respect him for, but back then I was always trying to find him, like playing whack-a-mole. Why do you know about a deal before we do? I mean, that never happened, but before we wanted anyone else to know. In addition to having sources that make him the best baseball reporter out there, and yes, the best baseball reporter out there. Sorry, Jeff, you know it's true. Rosenthal has a thing about owners not spending money, which was a thing with me because he thought our owner was amongst them. And I tried to explain what the finances were and why things are the way they are. Healthy dose of skepticism on his behalf as it relates to many teams, most recently the Oakland A's. Strangely enough, Dave Cavill, the president of the A's, and John Fisher, the owner of the A's, are on a relocation tour. The relocation tour is where to play in the interim period when their lease at Oakland Coliseum runs out, which is at the end of 24, and their new stadium in Vegas can't open until 28. Now, all the people out there who assume that I'm wrong and they're right, that the A's are moving to Vegas for sure, are pointing out a letter that came from Bally's, the news that came out that the Tropicana is being demolished, the A's are moving to Vegas. Horse hockey. The Tropicana being demolished has nothing to do with the A's moving to Vegas. The Tropicana was being demolished anyway. It is cheaper. It's like a teardown when you buy a house and you're like, should we renovate or get a new one? Like what the White Sox are doing. You get a new one. They need a new hotel on that property. They're not revamping the Trop. By the way, Trop, first hotel I ever went to in Vegas when I turned 21 with my grandfather and father. That's what we did as the Sampson family. Turn 21, go to Vegas. Let's start the debauchery right now. Unfortunately, the type of debauchery had dice in it and cards, not garters. But either way, debauchery is debauchery. The Tropicana was being demolished either way. So when the employees of the Tropicana are written a letter by Bally's saying it's being demolished, the Oakland A's say, could you please just put in that letter just for us that we're doing this so we can do a stadium? So then the whole media, everyone will believe that we're really moving to Vegas. It is absolute horse hockey, available on davidsampsonpodcast.com. Dave Cavill doesn't even talk to anybody in Vegas anymore because he's over welcome to stay. John Fisher's being the mouthpiece, not doing great. We've gone through that. But we did get Cavill to do an interview. He did tell Ken Rosenthal the greatest line. Not the greatest line, but a pretty good line. Pretty good. We expect to have a competitive payroll that is going to enable us to have the resources necessary to field a competitive team year in and year out. Hold on, let me check my notes. Let me just quickly check what everybody says. Hold on, page 2, when you're trying to get stadium financing or when you fire under stadium financing, firing manager, or cutting payroll, trading player. Statement 2 reads, we are trying to field a competitive team year in and year out. All right, let me go back to my interview. We expect to have a competitive payroll that's going to enable us to have the resources necessary to field a competitive team year in and year out, Cavill said. We think that's necessary for the Vegas market. You're right. It's only necessary for the Vegas market. Not necessary in Oakland. Not necessary in New York. Not necessary in Boston. It's just Vegas. I think it would have been better to say, hey, that's what all teams aspire to do. But by the way, only 15 out of 30 teams finish above 500 generally, and only one team ends up winning the World Series. Of course, we all strive to win, but the smartest teams know when they can win and when they can't. What we want is the ability to build and then add when we're ready to win. To do that, we want to have a better chance at more revenue. To do that, we need people to pay more money. To do that, we need to get more money from people. Therefore, we need more opportunities and options, so we need a stadium. I always like the honest approach. It's better. How about just saying so? So, what does it all mean? Do I believe that they're going to raise payroll as they said they would? What he's claiming is that in this interim period, they want to raise payroll because they want to build to a crescendo so you try to win in your first year in the new stadium in 28. Tried it. Ended up signing free agents to add to a team that we thought could win from 2011, signed a bunch of free agents, had a terrible 2012, overextended, traded them all away. The rest is history. Everybody always tries to do that. Here's the thing. New stadiums are not the panacea they used to be. New stadiums do not guarantee bumps in attendance the way they did when Cleveland or Pittsburgh or even San Francisco, when they opened new stadiums, they had their attendance turn around and they had periods of real sustained winning. Well, at least Cleveland did, and San Francisco. It turns out what markets really want now, new stadium or not, doesn't matter. They actually just want teams which are competitive. That there is the conundrum. The problem is there is no longer that need for the pre-new stadium opening runway where you build, and then hit that crescendo, hit the end of the rebuild, and time it perfectly. What we've learned over the past two decades is that timing a rebuild is super hard. That's why teams always say, oh, we're ahead of plan. Oh, we're behind plan. My view has changed. Here's the plan. When your team's good, that's the plan. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they're not rebuilding anymore. They won. Their plan now is to add if they can. When you make the playoffs, you say, all right, that's it. The Marlins made the playoffs. Let's add. But then you get to say, wait a minute. I looked at the way the Marlins won. So many one-run games. We're losing so much money. Let's not say this is our moment of winning, and let's take a few steps backwards. So do I think that they're going to build in this interim plan, which they don't even have an interim plan? I absolutely do not. Do I think they'll have a payroll of $170 million in 2028, first year in a new stadium? I absolutely do not. Do I think that $170 will be a competitive payroll in 2028? I absolutely do not. $170 will be well below the median in 2028. What is required of a team is a great farm system that produces a pipeline where you have young players overperforming their contracts, sprinkled in with really good veteran long-term contracts. That's the formula required if you're not in the top three in payroll. And even being in the top three of payroll, you could still end up like the Padres or Yankees or Mets from last year and not make the playoffs. The other reason why I don't believe they will be raising payroll as they head into the new stadium is we have still not seen word one about the financing of the ballpark, the operation of the ballpark, how all this is going to work with Bally's, meaning they have no projections. They have no idea what money is going to be required and when. They don't know at what rate they're going to borrow the money, so they don't know what their annual interest payments are. They have no way to put together a plan that enables them to spend money in this interim period. They've got to keep their powder dry. They've got to keep cash on hand and credit availability in order to put that into the new ballpark, not into interim payrolls. So do I believe they will raise payroll as they said they would in Ken Rosenthal's article? Well, as the media expert on the A's relocation, I say no chance toilet pants. I don't know how to segue that into this next topic, so I'm just going to do it. How dare you? If you're listening to this show and you are or you know the person who stole Jackie Robinson's statue out of a park in Wichita, how dare you? I'm not standing on my high horse. I'm not preaching. I'm using my microphone. I'm using my platform, as you all have your platform to use, to ask a very simple question. The backstory is a statue of Jackie Robinson was stolen from a public park in Wichita. They cut it off at the ankles and walked away with it. People are up in arms. There's a reward for its safe return, like it's a dog or a cat. That statue is not coming back. It will not be returned. The people who stole it for nefarious reasons that don't include the resale of the statue as is. Melt it and sell it for parts? Is there racism involved? When you steal a Picasso or a Van Gogh, there's several reasons why Thomas Crown would do that, not the least of which is to bed Rene Russo. Not such a bad reason. The reason they do it is, one, they either want to sell it overseas. Two, they want to live with it. Three, they're addicted to the high that comes not from the needle, but from the taking. When you steal a statue of Jackie Robinson, none of those reasons exist. You don't live with it. You can't. You can't resell it overseas. It's not, there's no market for it. None at all. Melting it for its materials? Give me a break. I'm just curious, who does that? Just the other day, someone threw, I think it was pumpkin soup on the glass protecting the Mona Lisa. I've covered this on the show before, because it's happened before. For all of the people on the left who believe that drawing attention to climate change by me gluing myself to center court, that's going to make a difference. I'm going to chain myself to this bridge and slow down traffic. That'll stop fossil fuels. I'm going to stop cow farts by throwing soup on a painting. Really? That's the best you got? And throwing and defacing art, though, when it's protected, you're not defacing it. You're just being an idiot. Stealing art, inexcusable. Stealing anything, just go earn it. Get a job, all the people who earn money illegally. That is sort of me being on my high horse, I guess. I make more money dealing drugs than I could working at Walgreens. All right, but you also run the risk of losing your freedom. No, I want that. That's fine. I get three square. Stealing the Jackie Robinson statue? What do you think? That is, that's your way of showing how great the white race is? How bad it is that Jackie Robinson played in Major League Baseball? What he represents? Jackie Robinson should not represent color to anybody. He should represent values. Jackie Robinson's core values were not based on his color. They were based on his heart, his constitution. He embodied greatness off the field and on. If you have the statue of Jackie Robinson, or if you stole it, what is it you have? What is your problem? Are you going to change the world? Are you going to make it one race? Going full Aryan nation? How about that? I am angry about all of the people who believe that no one can look different or be different than they are. And it's happening everywhere, not just based on color, based on religion. I don't get it. Maybe my word of the day instead of tweak should have been live and let live. Maybe I should make that my word of the day every day. Maybe one person will adapt that and adopt it. Not adapt it. Tweak it. Adopt it. I don't want it tweaked or adapted. I want it adopted. Maybe one person will adopt that starting today. Tolerance. Tolerance. By the way, the amount of the reward for the Jackie Robinson sculpture, like $1,500 or $2,500, that's really going to incentivize a racist from, that'll change him. I want the $2,500. Or is that the resale value? Is that the value of the parts? Do you think that the people who stole the Jackie Robinson statue are doing math and figuring out the best way to capitalize and monetize it? Do you actually think that the people who stole it are watching the show? Because if they are, then they're making it just about business. This was not about business. Stealing the Jackie Robinson statue out of a public park in Wichita, that was downright personal.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.